Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Join us every Saturday for a deep discussion about the biggest stories of the week. Go behind the scenes with journalists, political figures, and newsmakers to get a unique look at our city. And also, I want to hear from you, the listener. So please send any questions, critiques, or sponsorship inquiries to my email at hsanders@wweek.com. Thank you so much and enjoy this episode of the Dive Podcast. Welcome back to the Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Great to have you with us today for episode 47 of The Dive on November 20th of 2021. We are joined by a frequent guest. He is a freelance journalist who does a lot of work for Willamette Week, and he is here to tell us all about what is to come of the Lloyd Center Mall, the popular, former popular destination for kids, families, friends, all the above. The Lloyd Center Mall is set to foreclose shortly, no timeline exactly when that will happen, but we're talking about what's going to be made of the mall after it forecloses. What's the city going to do? What can we bring in? So more on that story later on, but before, we have to bring you all the headlines, everything that happened this week. This is the NiaSeca News Flash. In order to run for governor of Oregon, you have to first file papers with the Oregon Secretary of State's office. This must be done so that the office can do a background check to make sure that you're actually eligible to run. Most of the people who have expressed intent to throw their hat in the ring for Oregon's highest office have already filed their papers, but the most notable person who has yet to file papers is Nick Kristof. Nick Kristof announced a couple weeks ago that he was interested in running for governor of Oregon. He's raised a bunch of money, the most money that any candidate has raised so far, but he hasn't yet filed his intent with the Secretary of State's office. Some people expect that this is because, you know, there's going to be some difficulty over whether or not he can run for governor. We talked about this in last week's episode. He voted last year in 2020 for out of New York. People say he's lived in New York, so there might be some complications there. That's just speculation, but that might be one of the reasons why he hasn't yet filed these papers. We'll keep you updated on that story. President Joe Biden's infrastructure bill increases spending in Oregon's highways and transportation projects by 38%, which will be an extra $1 billion over the next 5 years. However, this added cash may not stop tolls from going up in Oregon's roads, as the expected revenue from tolls could be too lucrative for ODOT to turn down, promising bigger projects to be paid for by this toll cash. The U.S. Post Office in the Pearl District in Portland is set to be demolished in the next few months, but there is some controversy over who is doing the demolition. Michael Martin is the owner of Portland's only black-owned demolition firm. His company was overlooked to do the demolition despite Portland's promise to give minority-owned firms and workers of color to get their fair share in rebuilding contracts of the Broadway corridor. Martin has filed a lawsuit seeking $5.5 million, declaring that the city went to extraordinary lengths to prevent him from winning the contract. As for where to eat this week, try Wild Thing on Northeast Alberta and check out a bar called Midnight Society. Those are our two recommendations of the week. But folks, that about does it. This has been the 9-Second News Flash. If you're from Portland, then you know Lloyd Center Mall. It's where you do your holiday shopping, get greasy food at the food court, and of course, go ice skating with your buddies. It's a Portland institution, and has been for decades. Well, the mall's landlord is expecting to foreclose the mall, leaving the city leaders wondering what to do with this massive vacant lot. Anthony Effinger wrote this week's Willamette Week cover story, detailing six ideas about what may come of this iconic Portland destination. I had a lot of questions, and so please join me with my discussion with Anthony. Let's run the tape. All right, Anthony, let's start with this. Why is the mall closing?
The mall is closing because the lender, KKR, which is a giant private equity firm based in New York, had loaned money to the mall's owner, Cypress Equities, a company out of Texas. And Cypress has been apparently unable to pay back the loan. And when that happens, the lender can foreclose. They haven't foreclosed yet, but they have promised to do so. And they came out and they said in, you know, very kind of antiseptic language that they were going to explore their options for the Portland retail asset. And they said this in an earnings call where it was kind of an afterthought. I mean, it wasn't even like an announcement for this. It was just like, oh, and by the way, we're going to foreclose on this mall that everybody in Portland has like fond memories of and strong feelings about.
Yeah. In the plans that you've talked about for this mall, people express deep interest in preserving the ice rink. What's the value that the ice rink has?
Oh my God. No, listen, the ice rink, everybody loves the ice rink, and with good reason, right? I mean, it's the only ice rink in Portland proper. Did you know that? It's the
only
one.
I did not know that. No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's a couple out on the west side, there's one in Vancouver, but this is it. And if you know anybody, like anybody you know who plays like beer league hockey, you know that ice is at a premium. They're playing. I have friends who play at like 11 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's how desperate they are for the ice, right? So it's the only one, and people love it. I mean, there's a group of ladies who have been skating at this mall every Tuesday and Thursday or something since 1960. What are they going to do?
So you put forth six plans that people are talking about. Were these plans, were they the most interesting, the most likely? Why did these six make the cut?
I would say that they were the most, some were either the most interesting or the most doable, I would say. You know, everybody wants housing, right? Almost everybody said, well, on the top two floors, I would do housing, you know, because that's what Portland needs more than anything in the world right now is affordable housing. And there's actually a precedent for this. As I said in the piece, there's a mall in Providence, Rhode Island, was built in the 1800s. It looks like a Greek temple, and it operated for a long time. I've been there. They recently redid it, and it has 40 some odd micro lofts on the top floors. Right? They're not condos. They're not huge. They're micro lofts. Like you could do that in the Lloyd Center. Like it's been done. And on the bottom, there's like shops and a whiskey bar and all this other stuff. Now they'd have a skating rink, which would make this, you know, even cooler.
What's to say that the city of Portland won't just sell this whole slot of land and building to some private company and just ask them to take care of it and build some high rises, build an Amazon warehouse? What's the likelihood of that happening?
Well, so so Prosper Portland would have to buy this from KKR, right? They already own a huge parcel, which is the old post office, and that is not advancing. As Willamette Week reported recently, that's been a mess. Developers pulled out because saying that the city's restrictions on how they want it developed are just too onerous. So some people were very skeptical that Prosper Portland, you know, the city's development agency, would come in and buy this thing. But everybody wants some kind of city control over this thing's future, right? Like, it's too big an asset in too prime a location to just line up a bunch of like four-story condos with like names that sound like you're trying to be in Stockholm, you know, like Higgy or whatever that one is, you know? Like, we got enough of that, people say. They want something different.
So I might be a little bit naive here. So explain to me what the process we're looking at over the next couple, you know, months will be. So KKR sells this to who gets what's the role of the city?
Right. Oh, that's a great question. It's a great question. The first thing that's going to have to happen is KKR is going to actually have to foreclose. Right. And that's a legal process. And then we'll see some documents in court that will tell us a bit more about their intentions, hopefully. From there, it's who knows. Right. I mean, they could try to do a deal with the city. They could sell to Prosper Portland. I don't know if Prosper Portland has the money or the wherewithal or what. But I think, you know, in any development, the city has a say. Right. But I think people would like to see the city have more of a say than usual. Right. I mean, it has to go beyond just zoning and regulation. The crazy thing is this: KKR, in a way, is very indebted to Oregon, because when the guys who started KKR started their firm, their first big investors were the Pension Fund of Oregon, right? Which where all the public employees put their money, right? And the Pension Fund of Washington. Those two firms invested in KKR and made them a legitimate business. Without those two firms, those guys would have had a much harder time raising institutional money when they got going. So in a way, Oregon made KKR. And a lot of people feel like KKR should remember that and do right by Portland and this mall.
Yeah, private equity firm sticking to morals and remembering the roots. That'll we can bank on that for sure.
Yeah, good point. Your skepticism is valid.
Fair enough. Of these plans, some are very exciting, very interesting. What was your favorite? Walk us through it.
Okay, so the one that I keep coming back to, look, there's a lot of great ones. The one that I keep coming back to is this idea of something, and pardon my try at French here, but it's called an hôtel logistique. And what it is, you know, when we think of logistics centers, I didn't even know what that was really, but if a logistics center is something like what Amazon builds in the middle of, you know, the suburbs or out beyond the city, where they have trucks rolling up and getting deliveries and taking them out to the city, right? It's a place to coordinate freight, right? Well, in France, they order food just like we do. They order goods just like we do. And it's taken off there just like here. But instead of building these massive tilt up concrete structures in the middle of nowhere, they're starting to build them within the city limits. So you can actually ship goods in by rail, say to the Gare du Nord or whatever, and have a logistics center there that takes them and processes them, gets them out to people in the city. What you gain there is much less driving with trucks, right? You can use smaller vehicles, electric bikes, electric vehicles. The person who proposed this even said maybe you use drones, right? So you get this stuff into the center of the city. And the one in Paris has tennis courts on the roof and other amenities. And if you did this at Lloyd Center, you could house the workers like in micro lofts. And there's already loading bays in the mall from where, you know, Nordstrom and Macy's took delivery of all the merchandise, right? So it's sort of set up for, you know, you could, and here's the greatest idea. You get goods from the airport onto the TriMet train that comes from the airport. You have a special car that's for cargo. So when a load of stuff comes in the airport, you load it onto this car and it goes right to the MAX station at the Lloyd Center, right? So you're starting to green the distribution channels if you can use trains to get this stuff into the center of town, right?
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. That sounds super, super interesting.
And it's right near the highways, right? It's on 84 and 5. I mean, this comes right in there.
Yeah. And then I hate to be the cynic, but, you know, the city of Portland is not always known for always thinking and doing, you know, things mavericky and in super interesting ways. So what is it looking like at City Hall? What are people thinking about? Are people really realistically thinking about the Lloyd Center Mall as being something really special for our city?
You know, we don't know. That's the next story we have to write. What are people thinking? We need to poll, you know, public leaders and ask them. I hope they'll read our piece. And you know, the idea was to give people, you know, some new ideas about what to do.
What is the best plan that didn't make the cut? What's the seventh plan that you were looking into?
Well, one that didn't get as much air time as it might have was light manufacturing. Having some sort of light manufacturing in the Lloyd Center, right? Like, I don't know what you'd do. I don't know. You could make, I mean, there's still some light manufacturing on like MLK and other streets in Portland. And we've got a history, especially of metal manufacturing, right? I mean, with precision cast parts and—
So you don't mean like light bulb manufacturing.
No, excuse me. No, I mean like, you know, not like making like, you know, John Deere tractors.
Right.
Or, you know, cars, but something else. And there's actually a company in New York that is doing this. They're developing old spaces in New York for small manufacturers. And then there's residential space upstairs. So what you're doing is you're preserving your economic base, right? I mean, and you could do that. There's so much space in the Lloyd Center. I mean, you could put like, I don't know, Keen Shoes could take over Macy's and start making shoes there, you know, something like that. And that then you have a tax base to support the development.
Okay, Anthony, last question here.
Yeah.
Play a game with us. Put your money on a bet. Make a bet. What do you think the city will end up doing outside of the six or one of the six? What do you think the city will end up doing, knowing their track record, but also knowing that that the city's really looking at this?
Well, okay. So you're assuming there that the city gets control. And let's assume that the city does get some control, or that the people of Portland get some control. I think the ice rink stays.
Really, it's that important.
I think so. I mean, it's an institution. It really is. I mean, it's something for kids to do. It's something for these old ladies to do.
But that really limits things. I mean, are you going to do light manufacturing around a...
have you been in the mall? It's huge.
That's fair. That's fair.
You could fit like an auto plant in. Have you seen the garages?
I guess I haven't spent too much time recently in the mall.
You know, you could... I mean, that's the other thing. You could have a skateboard park the size of, you know, that would it'd be massive. You could make one of those garages into a skateboard park. I mean... Why not do that? But so here's what I think. I think the ice rink stays. I think some housing gets put in. And I think there's some retail. I mean, that's pretty broad, but I think it's some combination of those three.
Awesome. I love it. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate
it. Good to talk to you, Hank.
Looking forward to the next time. Well, folks, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast. Come back next week. We've got a really good interview for episode 48 and a really good 49 and 50. We got that all planned out, so exclusive interviews. You should keep your ear to the ground. Keep listening. We really appreciate it. Hey, I won't see you till after Thanksgiving. Have a safe, healthy, happy Thanksgiving. We really appreciate all you're doing with Willamette Week. Keep reading. Keep following up with Portland news. It's really important. And till next week, stay safe, have fun, take care. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. We'll see you on the other side. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information on this podcast or the biggest stories in Portland, go to wweek.com and follow Willamette Week on all socials. We're doing some really cool things related to the podcast on our Instagram and Twitter. Includes giveaways, behind the scenes, etc. A lot of cool things coming your way, so give those a follow. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganibon, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. Last but not least, thank you so much to Heather Witte and AmpMusic.co for the music that you hear on this podcast. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.